Against a pastel pink background, three maids of honor are the backing singers for a bride.
Ready? Okay.
Wishing and hoping and thinking and praying, planning and dreaming each night of his charms that won't get you into his arms. So if you're looking to find love that you can share, all you gotta do is hold him and kiss him and love him and show him that you care.
My Best Friend's Wedding, a Jerry Zucker pre-dawn production starring Julia Roberts, Dermot Mahoney, Cameron Diaz and Rupert Everett. Music by James Newton Howard, produced by Jerry Zucker and Ronald Bass, written by Ronald Bass and directed by PJ Hogan. The maids wave excitedly as the pretty blonde bride steps onto a chair and tosses her bouquet, catching it herself.
Is holding and kissing and squeezing and loving. Just do it, and after you do, you will be his.
The bride flourishes her veil like a matador's cloak. The maids of honour skip past her, twirling their net skirts. They line up to face the bride, who wags her finger at them, shaking her head.
Just for him. Cause you won't get him. Thinking and a-praying, wishing and a-hoping, just wishing and hoping and thinking and praying, planning and dreaming. His kisses will start. That won't get you into his heart. So if you're thinking how great true love is, all you gotta do is hold him and kiss him and squeeze him and love him. Just do it, and after you do, you will be his.
They kneel at her feet and hold up their poses of
you will be here.
A white light illuminates the bride's face. In a busy restaurant kitchen.
2 and 2 menu. Ryan, 22. Immediately. Guillermo! Guillermo! Two pigeons.
Two pigeons.
Right away.
Right away.
In the calm of the restaurant itself, a handsome young woman savors the food. Her companion and the waiter watch expectantly. Back in the kitchen.
Give me 2 grain!
I'll take that polenta. We'll have the chef.
This is the one. This is the one I'm waiting for. Right here.
Yeah,
I need that special meat right now.
Yes, sir.
Hey, sir, get ready. It's coming at you. I will kill your whole family if you don't get this right. I need this perfect.
Yes, sir.
A plate of food is carried through to the restaurant and placed ceremoniously in front of her. She takes a fork and picks up a sliver of meat that tops the elegant offering of Nouvelle Cuisine. The chefs peer anxiously through the circular window of the kitchen door.
I'm writing it up as inventive and confident.
Her companion, George, prepares to eat. The waiter looks to the kitchens, the chefs start to grin.
Oh, by the way, did the chap from Newsday have a call?
I'll check my machine. Is this a real interview? Or just some cute guy that you're trying to set me up with?
Please, Julianne, I don't send you men anymore. You haven't got the first idea what to do with them.
Hey, it's Michael. Jules, it must be months, huh? So, I can't wait to talk to you. I'm in Chicago at the Drake Hotel. I guess I'm, okay, well, call me, 4 in the morning, whatever. We gotta talk. Bye.
Who called? The man of the moment?
No, the opposite. Why, Michael. Michael O'Neill. Sounds desperate to talk to me.
Oh, the wandering sports writer. Remind me about that one.
Sophomore year at Brown, we had this one hot month. Yes. But of course, you know me.
Mm-hmm.
I got restless. So I get up the nerve to break his heart. And he gives me this look. And he said, the thing that makes me want to cry is I'm losing the best friend I ever had.
Oh.
And at that moment, I knew. I felt the same way. So I cried for maybe the third time in my entire life, kissed him, and we've been best friends ever since. We've seen each other through everything. Losing jobs, losing parents, losing lovers. We've traveled all over. Best times of my life. Drinking and talking. Even if it's just over the phone.
God, this is so moving. Kindred spirits, eh?
No, he's nothing like me. He's like you, actually. Only straight. I remember this one night in Tucson, like 6 years ago. He takes a razor out of this tiny little dop kit, cuts his finger, takes my hand, does the same to me.
Oh, maybe
sick. He says, swear, when we're 28, if we've never married, we marry each other. We never talked about it again. I don't know what made me think of that.
You're about to be 28 in 3 weeks, right?
She smiles.
How old's he?
You think?
Desperate to talk.
Her smile fades. Julianne looks suddenly anxious.
Cheers. Courage.
In her study.
Hey, it's Michael. Jules, it must be months, huh? I can't wait to talk to you. I'm in Chicago at the Drake Hotel. I guess I'm, okay, well, call me. 4 a.m, whatever.
Pacing into her bedroom, Julie punches the buttons on her cordless phone.
Good evening, the Drake Hotel.
Hi, yes, I'm calling for Michael O'Neill, but seeing as it's so late, if you could just let me leave...
She sighs.
Hello?
Hello. You've been enrolled in the Obscene Caller of the Month Club.
Hey, beautiful. It's so great to hear your voice. I miss you. I've been calling you for over a month, you know, Jules.
Well, I've been on a book tour.
Well, I figured you're out of town.
No, I mean, my machine eats all my messages.
Or you're just averaging 30 days to return a call.
Well, it's less when it's you.
Look, I have to ask you something. Something incredibly important. And if you turn me down, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You know, if I could just tell you one thing first. Well, this is probably going to hand you the biggest laugh of your adult life, I'm sure. But I was thinking about you, and I was remembering this unbelievably insane night that we spent in Tucson, like, I don't know, 1,000 years ago. And you probably won't remember this, but...
Are you kidding? I think about that night all the time.
You do?
But it's not why I called.
It's not.
I called because I met someone.
Well, that's great. That's great. Because you haven't really seen anybody, have you, since Dingbat Jenny Lee?
No, you don't understand. I've never felt this way about anybody. And she's all wrong for me.
Well, there's a good start.
Well, no, I mean, she's a junior at the University of Chicago. She's 20. Her name's Kim, Jules. You're going to love her. She's beautiful. And her dad is this billionaire, and he owns the White Sox and some cable empire. And, you know, I've always been kind of uncomfortable around rich people.
Sure.
But they're not like that. They're such wonderful people, really. Salt of the earth.
So you've met her parents?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jules, we're getting married this Sunday.
Julie sinks down onto the bed.
Hello?
But misses.
Michael.
Hello?
Michael, it's Wednesday night. How can you possibly be getting married on Sunday?
Actually, it all starts tomorrow, and it's one of these 4-day weddings with all the traditional events and, like, 10 million people flying in from all
over
the world.
Okay, but aren't you working this weekend? I mean, is that responsible?
Well, the Sox are at home, and Sports letting me do a profile on the Big Hurt, you know, Frank Thomas. What do you mean irresponsible? Taking off a weekend?
Julie's face crumples.
Jules,
she fingers the bedspread.
Maybe we should talk about this.
I need you. If you can't come and hold my hand, I'll never get through this. Please come. Please. Oh, man, I can't wait for you.
Heading for the airport, Jules smokes furiously. George is driving.
Listen, Jules, why don't we just stop and have a drink? You can take a later flight.
No. I'm a busy girl. I've got exactly 4 days to break up a wedding, steal the bride's fella, and I haven't one clue how to do it. He adored me for 9 goddamn years. Me!
I can see why.
Look, she has known him for, what, like 5 seconds? Okay, plus she's got billions of dollars. Plus she's apparently perfect. Okay, so don't go feeling all sorry for Miss Preteen Illinois.
In the departure lounge, Jules struggles with her bags.
I can't lose him, George. I'm gonna bring him back.
She kisses George and strides off. A a bird's eye view of Chicago. In the airport, Jules walks along a busy corridor.
And I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so.
Wife and child, they walk off arm in arm. Julie's eyes widen nervously as she scans the faces in the arrivals hall. In the milling crowds, a slim man, clean-cut with short brown hair, stands out. He grins. Julie spots him and breaks into a beaming smile. They run towards each other and, not stopping in time, bump noses.
Can you believe I'm gonna do this?
Michael looks over his shoulder. 10 yards behind him, a young blonde in a canary yellow dress is wheeling a luggage trolley. All life seems to drain from Julie's face. Kimmy, flashing a perfect white-toothed smile, advances towards Julie and hugs her.
Oh, this just makes everything so perfect. From the day I met Michael, all I've heard is Julianne this and Julianne that. I've never had a sister.
Kimmy drives them down the freeway in an open-top sports car, weaving madly from lane to lane.
Right off, I have this monstrous favor to ask you.
Excuse me?
My best friend Angelique shattered her pelvis line dancing in Abilene over spring break. Be my maid of honor?
What? Shouldn't you have Mona, a bridesmaid or someone that you've known at least 45 minutes?
My bridesmaids are my only two female relatives under the age of 40. Debutante sisters from Nashville who are basically vengeful sluts.
She lurches across the carriageway.
Make you my new best friend. It's time for you to force yourself to get...
Clinging to the windscreen, Julie forces a smile. The car speeds drunkenly through the Chicago streets. At an exclusive bridal wear shop, Julie grudgingly models a lavender satin gown. The assistant turns to Kimmy.
Do you like the color?
I think it's beautiful.
Isn't that perfect for her?
Absolutely.
Now, this is going to be tighter.
Yes.
You know, you don't want those things to fall out.
No, it's beautiful.
I'm not hurting you, okay?
I don't want her to trip, so I'm going to take this up a little tiny, tiny bit.
Would you rather the daffodil?
I thought the bridesmaids all wore the same dress.
Not you. You wouldn't be comfortable unless you were distinctive.
Julie looks distinctly uncomfortable.
What else did he tell you?
You hate weddings. You never go. You're not up for anything conventional or anything that's assumed to be a female priority. Including marriage, or romance, or even...
Kimmy smiles sheepishly.
Michael and I were a wrong fit right from the start.
Julie purses her lips.
Well, I thought I was like you. I'm proud to be. Till I met rumpled, smelly old Michael. Then I found I was just a sentimental schmuck like all those flighty nitwits I'd always pitied. It's funny, huh?
She steps off the pedestal, freezes, and turns guiltily to the assistant who's pinning her gown. Changing in the dressing room, Julie's on the phone.
George, how do you think I feel? All she does is talk about her and Michael's future, and she's just so bright-eyed and dreamy.
Oh,
Michael comes in.
Hi.
Want me to turn around or something?
Yes. Not the person I was expecting.
She clamps a shirt over her lacy black bra and briefs.
I've seen you a lot more naked than that.
Well, things are different now.
Yeah.
Michael shrugs and turns to the door.
You look really good. Without your clothes on.
He goes. Julie stares after him dazed, then sits down. She snatches up the phone. Kimmy's car tears around the underground car park of the Chicago Hilton. Three men dive for cover. Kimmy and Julie get out.
So the honeymoon is where, exactly?
Well, it depends. If San Antonio Suites Sacramento, we could start there. Or Phoenix, or depending on the Indiana-Cleveland game.
Garden spots.
Oh.
A swing of maybe 40 degrees Fahrenheit represents a packing challenge, but there's fine food and cocktails at a choice of Embassy Suites.
It's his career. I'm supportive. Look, I've been everywhere. I want to be with a man I love. That's what makes it a honeymoon.
I'm just saying he's... They get in the lift.
It takes one woman in a billion to put up with his array of shit. The guy's a one-man festival of idiosyncratic... Well, you've been introduced to the symphonic range
of his snoring? Yeah, he says it's worse than ever. You know that snarful one?
Oh, yeah.
Now it's kind of got like this phlegm rattling thing happening behind his...
The lift doors open. Other people get in.
Guess what? Earplugs work.
Oh, what about...
His cigars in bed? Mm-hmm. I broke him of that habit. But the bathroom is a swamp. He wears Reeboks to dinner. He likes action movies. He reads over my shoulder. He loves karaoke bars, for God's sakes. And I can't carry it to him.
Really?
He sucks soup through his front teeth.
That's a trademark move. Don't touch that one.
But he sure can kiss.
The doors open again.
You know, it's been a while. I'm just going to take your word on that.
Kimmy and Jules are alone in the lift as the doors close.
After 2 weeks of cataloging all of his faults, I made a command decision that changed my life.
She presses the emergency stop button.
I threw the list away. He's not a balance sheet. He's Michael, and loving him means loving all of him.
You get nervous in small, confined spaces.
So sweet of you to want to be protective, but nothing ever could, ever did give me one moment's pause about this marriage.
You become hysterical in small, confined
spaces. Except one. You. You'll always be there in his mind, this perfect creature that he loved for all those years.
Well, perfection can get wearing after a while.
I'm not kidding. I had to face up to all of my competitive drives, and believe me, I've got them.
No.
And after all, what am I going to be jealous of you for the rest of my life? Our paths will keep on crossing.
Of course.
He'll always talk about you.
It's only natural.
And the answer was so simple.
I was going to predict that.
You win.
Missed a step.
He's got you on a pedestal. And me in his arms.
Julie latches to the buttons. She falls out of the lift into a party for the bride.
Oh, my God, it's the bride and the woman she...
Two cousins.
Are you okay, honey?
That's so sorry.
Did she say the wrong thing again? Mm. That is so in character.
Julianne Potter.
We'd be the vengeful sluts.
You can just call us Eager.
Hey, have you sized up the groomsmen, Jules? As Emma Bates, you get first pick.
Don't pick the short, hairy, fat one. He's mine.
Kimmy's a virgin.
Is this Michael's Julianne?
Yes.
Oh, I'm Isabel Wallace. And my handsome new son scarcely did you justice, girl. Now, my husband says we should scoot you over to the ballpark so you can hang with Michael. But first, you have to meet a lot of really old women. That is, if you've absorbed enough profanity.
At the ballpark, Michael and his male guests sit in a private box watching the game. Julie appears with a tray of drinks.
But you gents ordered a beer.
Oh, let me help you with that.
Michael, you unwittingly imply that I'm clumsy.
It's confusing with somebody I used to know. Julianne Potter, this is Hank and Eric from Sport Magazine.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
They're kind enough to give me a job.
Hi there.
How do you do?
And this is Walter, my father-in-law.
Future father-in-law.
Thank you. If he gives you any grief, you come and see me.
Oh.
And this guy you know.
Papa Joe.
I told him he should make your best man, darling, but had to go with his baby brother.
Mm-hmm. Best looking guy in any room.
The teenager hugs her.
Hey, that'll do. Scotty, that'll do.
Sorry.
Now remember, it is the duty of the best man to dance with the maid of honor.
Dance? You can't dance. When did you learn how to dance?
I've got moves you've never seen.
You're an imposter.
Michael steps up to Julie.
What did you do with my best friend? Huh?
I'm still your best friend. Just haven't seen you for a while.
Later, they stand together away from the other guests.
Saying is that some people might find that kind of perfection boring day after day, year after.
See, that's what I thought at first. How can you like someone that perfect? No potential for long-range likability. But then she does have a few good traits.
Oh, such as?
I got her. When I hug her, even in public, I don't have to let go right away. She lets me hold her As long as I want.
Batting second, the shortstop. Number three.
What?
Nothing.
Yeah, I forgot. You and that yucky love stuff. You always get like that when it gets sentimental.
I do not.
Okay.
Well, when we were... When you and I were... When we were...
Together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, did I... When...
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, you pulled away when I tried to hug you in public.
Julie frowns, then tosses her long, curly brown hair and smiles flirtatiously.
Well, I've changed. I mean, I'm not the girl that I once was.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Any relationship over 2 weeks I should know about?
This is not about longevity, Michael. This is about being comfortable with the yucky love stuff.
He turns to watch the game.
All right.
Michael grins at her wryly in a karaoke bar.
Place.
The shoreman told me, and you are singing the song.
Kimmy follows them. For once, she's not smiling. She eyes the other punters nervously. They sit at a table.
I didn't realize this was a karaoke bar.
This is so great, my two best girls.
Folks thirsty?
Margarita. Oh,
blended no
she
salt.
Wants it straight up.
You? I am still alive.
Two words for you.
Mm-hmm.
Margarita.
Yeah.
Vespa.
Lawrence.
Yeah.
It is.
Hey, me hanging on in the rain all night.
Oh, I love Lawrence.
And the guy with the thing, you know.
Where's my pass?
No, the pier is for fishing.
French cuisine.
Fishing. Fishing.
Judy glances at Kimmy.
Well, you should take her there. She's perky. She deserves a honeymoon.
Oh, yeah, well.
If San Antonio sweeps Sacramento, what is that? I mean, you're off the road in September, and when does fall quarter start for you?
I'm not coming back senior year.
Don't architects find a degree sort of an asset?
I travel every week. Got college ball, motorsports,
yeah,
training camps.
I think the most important thing is for us to be together.
Say pinky. I don't want to hear you sing. Come on.
Judy grabs the mic.
Oh, yeah? All right, folks. Everybody, my bride-to-be here is about to kick some ass on... What?
No, it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
No. Michael, she doesn't want to, Michael. Leave her alone. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for the dazzling vocal stylings of Miss Kimberly Wallace.
Kimmy stares in horror. Julie hands her the mic. Reluctantly, Kimmy takes it. Nervously, she gets to her feet. Julie sits back, preparing to enjoy herself as the text of the song appears on a screen.
Just don't know what to do with myself. Don't know just what to do with myself. I'm so used to doing everything for you. Just don't know what to do with my time. I'm so lonesome for you, it's a crime. Going to a movie. Oh, God.
Julie looks disconcerted as the audience clap. Kimmy grins shyly. Michael is gazing at her with awe.
I will be around.
Judy gives Michael a pitying smile. Shaking her head, she joins in with the clapping. Kimmy and Michael kiss. They kiss again. Michael leans over Kimmy, pulling her to him. Julie watches. Outside, they stand by a car.
Lonely without us?
Desperately.
Maybe we don't have to go.
Your grandmother's dinner? As bride-to-be, she's got you on a technicality.
She pushes Kimmy in.
I'd babysit you, but my loyalty is to the bride in her time of need.
It's not really a time of need.
Okay, well, if you're sure.
Sure?
Yeah, I mean, I'll stay with Michael if you're sure.
Okay. Call me later?
Michael kisses Kimmy through the open cab window. Then the cab pulls away.
Bye.
Have fun!
Julie and Michael eat donuts sitting together on the steps in the subway.
You're pretty shocked when I told you, huh?
Stop, no. A little.
Okay.
A lot. I fell off the bed.
Well, that explains the thump. You like her, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
That's enthusiastic.
Well, I mean, no, she's great.
No, she's great.
I mean, seriously can't sing a note. But to make that kind of sacrifice.
What? Leaving school?
All of it. Putting her career on hold, all to follow you around in this dumb job where you travel like 52 weeks a year to places like College Station, Texas.
Dumb job.
Well, it's not a grown-up job, Michael.
My job never bothered you before.
It doesn't bother me now. But I'm not Kimmy. Her father owns the Sox and Cable Sports.
Yeah?
I'm just surprised it hasn't come up, that's all.
What? It? What?
Corner office with a view. You in a nice blue suit. Permanent Chicago address. Somewhat close to Mom and Dad.
No. Never. She would never even think of that. You don't know her.
Julianne eyes him steadily. A bird's eye view down the light well of an expensive department store. Kimmy and Julie are looking at the jewelry.
But Michael loves his job.
Sure. Bad games, bad pay, bad towns, bad flights, bad hotels, real bad food. Homeless, rootless, lonely. Your copy makes it maybe one issue out of four. What's not to love? Why would he trade all that for running, say, a piece of the PR at a powerful, complex conglomerate like your father's?
That's just the sort of thing my father and I discussed.
I'm not surprised.
So, do you think he'd really accept?
Michael, a job like that? By any yardstick that involves sanity, it'd be the greatest thing that ever happened to him. Present company accepted. Mm-hmm. This is what we do. We make your dad a co-conspirator.
Kim.
Michael does a favor for Walter. Walter's reorganizing his public relations and needs a brilliant guy that he's close to, that he can completely trust. Then you beg. Michael, please do this for Daddy. It's only 6 months. It would mean so much to me.
See right through it.
Only if he wants to. At the end of 6 months, he will be happy, settled, successful.
Kimmy smiles. Julianne makes her way through a crowded restaurant. She wears a little black dress and embroidered jacket. Kimmy and Michael are sitting together at a table. Michael stands up as Julie approaches.
You look beautiful.
Thank you.
You have a date later or something?
Never can tell. Hi.
Just the way you look tonight. Remember?
Okay, kid. You're up.
Michael turns to Kimmy, who swallows nervously and glances at Julie. Julie smiles encouragingly. Kimmy looks falteringly at Michael.
Well, it's really my father who needs the favor. You see, he's reorganizing some of the divisions of the company. Public relations is a real problem.
Michael's face hardens.
It would only be 6 months, maybe. Or 3 or 4.
And you knew about
He turns to Julie.
Well, I think you ought to listen to her, Michael. It's her life, too.
Well, you gonna tell me that Walter thought this one up? Why don't you start by being honest 1 second, Kim?
I am being honest. What, all of a sudden I'm supposed to drop out of school? Forget my family, forget my career, forget about all the things I had planned for my life?
Forgive me for screwing up your plans. I'm just sure glad I'm hearing about this now before it's too late.
What is that?
What am I supposed to do with my life, huh? I work in a low-paying, zero-respect job, which unfortunately I happen to love.
Kimmy throws Julie a pleading look.
Michael, it sounds like a great opportunity.
Does it really? How come you never took some sell-out establishment job, huh? I'll tell you why, because that isn't you. And guess what, Kim? That's not me either.
Dave, that's the way you feel.
Yeah, you're damn straight that's how I feel. Just come out and say it. My job's not good enough. I'm not good enough.
Michael, I never said that.
Yes, you did. Great, Kim. You wait till 2 days before our wedding to lay this on me, and I'm supposed to just roll over and drool.
No.
Fine. I'm the asshole. I'm an insensitive, sexist asshole. No, you're better off without
me. No, Michael, no! You're so, so right. I was so wrong. We settled this, and I reneged. That just wasn't fair. You have to forgive me and forget this ever happened, okay? Or I'll just die. Please.
Michael sits back down. Julie watches in alarm.
I'm sorry.
Kimmy throws her arms around Michael's neck. Julie looks from one to another, horrified. Michael's eye. At a dinner party.
George, in dinner. I'm not in. Brevity is the order of the day.
George! Answer this, damn it! I'm gonna
it's not.
She double crossed me! The little twerp.
Next weekend,
she comes out. She's wrong for him. Michael and I are the same person. Self absorbed and vaguely lovable. We deserve each other. I'm running out of time. I'm completely out of sneaky ideas. I have come to the end of my rapidly fraying rope. George, you have got to think of...
George fingers his chin as his guests stare at him.
Coffee, anyone?
Yes.
Back in Chicago, Julianne lies slumped across the bed in her hotel room. Bottles and chocolate litter the floor. She staggers to her feet, tiptoeing through the debris past the TV set to answer the door.
Good morning, Katrul. Good morning. Oh, isn't it a glorious morning?
Ah, if you say so.
It's George.
George!
She's wearing a face mask.
This is very Marcel Marceau.
Now, relax, relax. We don't want your face coming off with it, do we?
What a hideous room. Oh, God. Death by minibar. How glamorous.
Ow!
You flew all the way here. You hate to fly.
I'd love to get back this evening. We have this thing with Verna's family in the Hamptons.
You're butting in.
He cleans her face.
What I mean when I say she's annoyingly perfect is that there's nothing annoying about her perfection. It is vulnerable and endearing. And that is annoying as shit.
Ah, you like it.
I didn't have to hate her. I'd adore her. This is my whole life's happiness. I have to be ruthless. He was in love with me every day for 9 years. I can make him happier than she can. Yes, I am breaking her heart in the short run, but really, really doing her a gigantic favor. She would be so miserable tagging along after this insensitive doofus.
She grabs a cigarette and sits on the bed. George sits beside her.
Jules, do you really love him? Or is this just about winning? Seriously?
In the beginning, it was mostly this prior claim. He belonged to me. Now, when I'm with him, he's just so wonderful. How come I never knew that when I could have had him?
It's amazing the clarity that comes with psychotic jealousy.
They lie back together on the bed.
George, believe me, if he was feeling what I'm feeling, then he would know how it feels. It's horrible. What?
Just tell him you love him. Oh, Julianne. Tell him you've loved him for 9 years, but you're afraid of love. Yeah, tell him you're afraid of love, afraid of needing.
Needing what?
To belong to someone. We all ask for you, huh? I'm sorry about that. Tell him this is the worst, the cruelest, the dumbest moment to do this to him, but there it is. He's got to choose.
Tell him the actual truth?
Maybe not the actual truth. Highlights.
In a menswear store, Michael's trying on a suit. He looks up to see George kissing Julie goodbye.
Your science place.
Julie marches up to Michael as the tailor measures him.
Good morning.
Michael, I have to talk to you.
You don't like the suit?
Actually, no, but that's not what I have to talk to you about.
Okay, one thing first.
He walks over to his jacket, which is hanging up, and pulls a small box from the pocket. He hands it to Julie.
Guard this with your life.
What is it?
The ring.
Why are you giving it to me?
I don't trust Scotty with it.
Michael, I don't
Please.
Think I should...
Please, you're practically the best man anyway.
She looks at the narrow silver band studded with diamonds.
She'll like it, won't she?
Yes.
So what do you want to talk about?
What?
You wanted to talk to me about something?
Oh, yes. Michael. We've known each other a long time, right? What, 20 years? Okay, not that long, but it's a long time.
Yeah.
And in that time, we've grown... close. Very close. Do you know what I mean by close?
I think so.
Okay, good, so do I. So...
She glares at the tailor.
When...
He nods and goes.
Sometimes people think they know how they feel about each other, but they don't. Until they do. I have a point. The question is, am I getting to it?
Why don't you? Whatever it is you have to say can't be that big a deal.
Big deal is... It's a relative.
She strokes his arm. The sleeve falls off. George is watching from a distance. He teases over, pulling a dummy on top of him. George jumps up quickly. Michael frowns at him, then at Julie.
Who's that guy?
It's George. George, I've told you about George. He's my editor.
What's he doing here? You working this weekend?
No. He's here to be with me.
Why?
Because he's my friend. He's my good friend. My best friend these days, and...
Oh.
You've been busy.
So, all of this has been about George...
Julianne slowly raises her eyes to Michael's, an idea forming. George loiters, watching as Julianne talks animatedly to Michael. Michael, in his one-armed half-made jacket, walks over to George, beaming broadly, looking back over his shoulder at Julie, and laughing.
I'm speechless.
Well, that's Jules.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations.
What?
I told him, puppy. I mean, if we're engaged, we really shouldn't be ashamed of it.
George stares.
He's racing back to New York. He just came in for a few hours to fuck me.
She smiles brightly at George, who gawps.
Takes a few hours.
Michael walks down the street. George and Julie follow him arm in arm. Michael smiles at them over his shoulder. When he turns back...
Give me your ring.
No.
Give it to me.
No, George!
When you ask a girl to marry you, you have to give an engagement ring.
Oh, Julianne, I can't believe you're doing this to me. You know, I've come all this way to help you. For this, you're insane.
Please, for one day...
They climb into a cab. Julie gazes at Michael, who stares out of the window. George, sighing, puts his arm around Julie's shoulder. She slaps him away. Michael turns and smiles. Julie smiles back.
Something wrong?
Well, I guess it's just the way that you always talked about George. They always seemed like, it sounded like George was gay. Actually, yes.
Exactly. Common misconception.
It is. Because George likes to pretend that he's gay.
And why would you do that?
Oh, I find it attracts women.
Indeed, yes. Work for me. Big time.
Michael heads into a church. George and Julie follow. They approach Papa Joe and Scott.
Underplay.
Got it.
Hey! I'm Jules' fiancé, George. Just in time for a quick pre-conjugal visit, if you catch my drift.
I do.
You're gonna humiliate me, aren't you?
Only if I can.
Okay, just one thing. Stay away from
me. What? George! Oh my God!
Kimmy flings herself into George's arms.
Against God's plan?
No! Oh, no! Wonderful! Wonderful!
No.
Her mum hurries over.
You have to meet George.
George.
You must be Kimmy's little sister.
Oh.
Julianne's fiancé, they're going to be married.
No.
Yes.
What's going on?
Julianne's getting married.
Oh, no. Why didn't you tell us?
I wanted to. I wanted to shout it from the rooftops, but Jules said no. Pumpkin, no. This is Kimmy's day. Let's not take the attention away from Kimmy.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Dear, sweet, adorable, chocolate-covered Kimmy. Those were her very words.
I think I'm gonna cry.
Me too.
George, this is so sweet of you to come to our rehearsal. I insist you stay on to lunch.
Oh, yes.
No, absolutely.
Love to. Love the bag, love the shoes, love everything. Love to.
Thank you.
Darling, what about your flight?
At a seafood restaurant, the relatives sit either side of a long table. Kimmy and Michael face Julie and George.
I can tell you this now, but I was very worried about you.
About me?
Yeah, I mean, all the stories that Michael told me were hilarious. But I mean, all those broken relationships, all those men. It must have hurt going through so many guys and never finding the right one.
Yeah, she couldn't sit down for 7 years until she met teensy-weensy little me.
And all the while, the man of your dreams is right.
Julie glances across at Michael.
She's talking about me.
George?
Yes, darling?
How did you and Julianne meet?
George is my editor.
Yes, oh. But Poopy, we met a long time before that. Actually, it's a very romantic story. Would you like to tell it, sweetie?
No, it's private.
Oh, not anymore. I first met Julianne in a mental institution.
Everyone gawps.
Julianne was there visiting some French chef she'd sent insane with a bad review. And I was there visiting Dionne Warwick.
Dionne Warwick?
Well, yes, he thought he was Dionne Warwick.
Who is Dionne Warwick?
Sacrilege, darling.
She's Whitney Houston's aunt.
She's very good on the Psychic Friends Network, isn't she?
Do you know the way to San Jose?
The cousins, Mandy and Sammy.
La, 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 la.
So there I was with Dion, whose real name, by the way, is Jerry. We're having one hell of a sing-song. And suddenly, breezing through the doors from the electric shock therapy room, I saw her. A vision. In pink.
Pink? You don't wear pink.
Oh, she does, Michael. Sometimes she does wear pink.
George.
You do.
I do.
And I said to Dion, Dion, who is this vision? Qu'est-ce que c'est cette vision? Surely she must be the understudy to some fabulous Broadway star. I mean, look at her skin. George. Who does her hair? George. And in that moment, I knew.
Okay, we don't all need to know what
yes, we do.
I'm very curious.
I do. I knew that someday it would end up like this. Like some glittering Doris Day, Rock Hudson extravaganza.
And in Sammy Class pants.
I said to Dion, Dion, I'm in love. Could this siren love me? Are the gods that kind? And Dion turned to me, opened her lovely eyes and said...
Everyone gazes in expectation.
What did she say?
The moment I wake up...
Oh.
Before I put on my makeup...
I say a little prayer for...
Kimmy's mum flashes a smile.
While combing my hair now... While wondering what dress to wear now...
I say a little prayer for you...
Forever and ever, you stay in my heart... And I will love you forever and ever... You never will part, oh how I love you together... Forever, that's how it must be... To live without you would only be in heartbreak for me...
One of the waiters sits at the piano.
For the bus, dear, while riding I think of us, dear.
I'll say a little prayer for you.
At work I just take time, and all through my coffee break time,
I'll say a little prayer for you. Forever and ever you stay in my heart, and I will love you forever and ever.
Never... Glowers. Julie looks embarrassed as diners at other tables join in. Julie shrugs. Michael's the only one not joining in the applause.
Well, heartbreak for you, actually.
All right, you've made your point. Get on your plane and go, and I will call you at the turn of the century when I've forgiven you.
They're at the airport.
It never worked out, you know.
Yeah, because it was dishonest.
Different temperaments. Look. Tell him you love him.
George claps her on the shoulder and heads off. Julie stands thoughtfully, arms crossed. He turns. George saunters back towards her.
You'll choose Kim. You'll stand beside her at the wedding. Kiss him goodbye. And go home. That's what you came here to do. So do it.
George strokes her hair tenderly, pecks her on the cheek and heads back to the terminal building. Julianne hangs her head, turns and walks sadly away. In the car.
George isn't my fiancé, Michael. It's been over for ages, but he can't accept it. I'd built you up so much, I couldn't let him lose face in front of you. He could never stack up to the one man I measure everyone against.
I don't know, this is strange. I gotta tell you, when you told me that you were marrying George, I got this really strange,
He stares at her and gives a little nod.
Crazy jealous. I'm sorry. Can we maybe spend some time alone this afternoon?
Bridges span the Chicago River, skyscrapers tower up on either side, tourist boats plow the gray-green water. One boat passes under a bridge, Michael and Julia at the back of the boat, standing together by the rail.
I've been thinking a lot the last couple of days. About us, I mean.
Have you? Well, there are a lot of memories to choose from, I guess.
It's more than that. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing to say it this way, but you've sort of been, you know, the woman in my life.
You've been the man in mine.
And I was thinking this could be our last time alone, together, you know.
Except for that hot affair we'll have twice a year.
Except for that. I mean, you commit to this wedding, and then it seems like this momentum and then you forget you chose it. You and I didn't, I mean, in our relationships with other people, we didn't use the word love a lot, did we?
Julie drops her gaze.
Kimmy says if you love someone, you say it. You say it right then, out loud. Otherwise, the moment just
passes you by.
The boat passes under a bridge. In its shadow, Michael stares deep into Julie's eyes. His gaze as they emerge into the sunshine, Julie stares sadly straight ahead.
We don't even have a song. Kimmy and I, we don't have a song. Do you think that's a bad sign? Someday, when I'm awfully low and the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look. Is your dance card filled?
Well, I'd have to check. You know, I keep it on power book these days.
Is that right?
They start to dance, turning slowly.
With each word, your tenderness grows, tearing my fears apart. With each laugh that wrinkles your nose, touches my foolish heart.
Gazing over his shoulder, Julie wipes away a tear. The boat passes under another bridge. In silhouette, the couple turn together in their silent dance. Two little girls at the front of the boat kneel up on their seats, staring and giggling at Michael and Julia. Emerges again into the sunshine. Julie, dressed in a smart suit, peers down a corridor of the Wallace Company's offices. She pauses at an open door. Inside, Kimmy's father is chairing a meeting.
You have all that?
Yeah, if we go with a 6% dividend.
Oh, excuse me. Hi.
Hi.
I thought Michael was picking me up.
Well, I said I'd drop you at the Stag. He's got a million things to do, sort of unofficial best man.
Yes, of course. Well, Kim said when Michael turned the job down that there was no friction.
Friction? No.
Good. I haven't caused a problem, have I?
No, you haven't. Well, nobody has.
Listen, you're just a little bit early.
Actually, I needed to make some phone calls. Would it be possible to use your office?
Of course. Right at the end of the hall on the left.
Thank you.
Take your time.
In Mr. Wallace's office, Julie sits at a laptop.
Okay.
She clicks on the icon.
New letter?
The pro forma appears on screen. She pulls a real letter from her pocket and
To Eric Isaacson, Senior Editor, Sport Magazine, from Walter Wallace. See, you can do this. It's easy. Just do it fast, get it over with. It's like it never happened. Eric, I need a favor. My daughter's every happiness is in your hands. I have offered Mike O'Neill, my new son-in-law, a great opportunity for my company. To his own detriment, Michael will not accept our offer while he works for you.
Hearing a noise, she leans way back in her office chair and peers through a crack in the open door. The corridor is empty. She leans back further and further. As the cleaner strolls past, she struggles to her feet and picks up the chair. Regaining her composure, she sits back down at the desk and resumes her typing.
My daughter joins me in his plea for your cooperation. With gratitude.
A dialogue box flashes on screen. Do you wish to send?
Why would I send this? I'd get fired.
It asks, save for later or delete? Her cursor hovers over the save button.
It's not like I'm sending it. I'm just saving it for a few hours. Till we come back here and Michael can see it. Perfectly harmless.
She stares at the screen. She glances at a photo of Kimmy on the desk. Julie has used the ring box as a paperweight, holding the handwritten version of the letter in place. She opens the box and takes out the slim silver band. She gazes at the wedding ring, her eyes full of yearning. Toying with the ring, she slips it on the fourth finger of her left hand. Click on screen saves the email for later. The name Wallace Companies revolves on the screensaver. Julie waits in the corridor. She tries to get the ring off, but it's stuck. Mr. Wallace is with his PA at the end of the corridor.
Send out this. This. Not this. This. That's it.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, I'm holding 4 or 5 emails that I wrote over lunch. Send those out, too.
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Bye.
Night. Outside the Wallace building.
I can't believe this! Did you try every key?
It's no big deal. She just gave us the wrong set of keys.
No, no, there's got to be a janitor or a guard or, you know, a cleaning woman or, you know, some kind of... I mean, somebody has to be in this building! I need a brick. I just need a brick.
What's the big deal about getting this file tonight?
I'm up against a deadline.
Me too. I'm getting married tomorrow.
That's my point. Everyone is going to be so busy with more important things. And so this is really my last chance. If I could just get up there to Walter's office or right by the computer, then I could just email those figures right out, right now.
Tomorrow's Sunday. Nobody's doing business. Monday morning, crack of dawn, Walter will walk you right up there. Give it up, kid.
Michael turns to go. Julie gazes in despair through the locked glass doors. Back at the hotel, Julie and Michael are in the lift. The lift doors open. Julie saunters out in a daze. As the doors are about to close, Michael stops them. George. She turns her glum face to his.
This thing mean that much to you?
Yes.
Come on. We'll use the phone in your room. Walter's probably not even asleep. We'll call the house. I'll drive you up here.
Thank you.
I'll drive you up there. We'll get the right key, and we'll go back down to the office. So if I fall asleep on the altar tomorrow, you better be there.
Oh, I'll be there.
These are all from Mary. This fax is from Eric, too. My wedding. You'd think my boss would leave alone.
Maybe it's congratulations.
Michael glances at the fax. Julie sits on the sofa, expectantly. Michael runs his fingers through his hair, gazing in disbelief.
What is it?
Mike, I can't believe I'm doing this to you on the night before your wedding, but I think you need and deserve to know what you're marrying.
Julie takes the fax.
I received the following email this afternoon. Eric, I need a favor. My daughter's every...
Michael picks up the phone.
Isabel, I need to talk to Kim. No, I'm just tired. Please put her on. Thanks. Jules. Could you give me a minute? Please?
Reluctantly, Julie leaves the room, her face contorting with remorse. Outside in the corridor, she leans back against the door and sinks slowly down. She lets her bag drop to the floor and rests her face against her hand. Then suddenly she starts. She fishes out a packet of cigarettes and lights one. She exhales deeply. A porter wheels past a trolley piled with cases. He stops and turns.
Excuse me, miss. Are you locked out?
No. Stepped out. It's a no-smoking room.
It's a non-smoking floor, too. Maybe you could go down to the lobby.
Why don't you have me arrested? I mean it. I am a dangerous criminal person. I do bad things to honest people. I could make a citizen's arrest. I wouldn't struggle. It'd be like getting Al Capone on tax evasion.
The porter eyes Julie with concern, then squats down in front of her.
Can I help you, miss?
She stares sadly at his name badge.
Do you smoke, Richard?
Yes, I do. But I'm...
non-smoking floor.
Yep. Yeah.
But you know what?
She holds out the cigarette. Richard takes it and inhales. Julie gives a wan smile.
You know, my grandmother always said, "This too shall pass."
The porter gets to his feet and goes back to his trolley, giving Julie a little wave as he moves on. Julie stares into space and takes another drag on the cigarette. She's still leaning back against the door. The door opens. Julie lies on her back, staring up at Michael. He takes the cigarette.
I want you to put this shit. It'll kill you.
What happened?
it's over. She denied it. She said I was crazy and paranoid.
A bad combination.
There's a big brunch tomorrow morning at her parents' house. And she said, how can I call it off? How can I... What am I supposed to tell everyone?
Oh, my God.
No, it's for the best. It really is. And she was right. I am crazy. To fall for someone I hardly knew. I'm so glad you're here.
Julie slowly smiles as Michael crouches beside her.
Hey, you still got that ring?
She tries out a range of expressions, smiling, frowning, looking guilty.
Trying it on and it won't come off.
She holds up her left hand. Michael takes it in his, puts her finger in his mouth, and tenderly draws off the ring with his teeth. Pulls the ring from between his lips. Julie, breathing deeply, rubs the empty place on her finger. Michael stares straight ahead, considering, then stands slowly. Julie stands too.
Why don't we take a walk or have some food sent up or something?
I just want to be alone. Is that okay?
Sure.
Maybe I'll go back to New York for a while, hang with you. Eric will understand. Or we could go somewhere, if you want.
San Antonio sweeps Sacramento. I've never been to Texas.
Michael nods, then stares at the floor and brushes past her. He mooches off down the corridor. Julie watches him. She goes back in her room and shuts the door. Morning. Julie lies in bed under a mound of pillows. She sits up, removes her night mask, and blearily goes to the door. There's no one there. Glancing down, she sees an envelope and picks it up. Leaning back against the door, she opens it and reads the note inside. Julie sits in a taxi, speeding through the streets. The taxi approaches a large house with a sweeping gravel drive. On the terrace, a large buffet is set out. Guests queue up as Julie marches past. More guests sit at tables beside the swimming pool. A jazz band is playing. Michael sits at a table next to his dad. He catches Julie's eye as she strides past and, shifting a little awkwardly, makes his excuses and follows her. His father helps himself to a forkful of food from Michael's plate.
So this is your basic call off the wedding party?
I came here to confront everybody. I'm not going to just slink away like some coward. Besides, she hasn't told anyone. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Michael, there is a wedding at 6:00.
They stand away from the guests, where helpers are setting up more tables. Julie swallows.
Have you changed your mind? Do you want to marry Kimmy?
I made a decision. It's over.
He stands rooted to the spot.
First, do you think she's all right? Maybe you could go check on her.
Kimmy is standing by a man arranging flowers.
These are the most beautiful flowers I've ever seen.
Julie approaches. Kimmy turns to her.
How is he? Well,
He's sort of wondering why you haven't told your parents that the wedding's off.
Well, I don't know. I'm still hoping for a miracle, I suppose. I mean, how could he think that my father and I would do such a thing?
I only minored in understand. Maybe Michael couldn't commit to this marriage, so he created a delusion, produced an unconscious psychosomatic manifestation of... I'm better with food. Okay. You're Michael. You're in a fancy French restaurant. You order creme brulee for dessert. It's beautiful. It's sweet. It's irritatingly perfect. Suddenly, Michael realizes he doesn't want creme brulee. He wants something else.
What does he want?
Jell-O.
Jell-O? Why does he want Jell-O?
Because he's comfortable with Jell-O. Jell-O makes him comfortable. I realize compared to creme brulee, it's Jell-O, but maybe that's what he needs.
I could be Jell-O.
No. Creme brulee can never be Jell-O. You could never be Jell-O.
Have to be Jell-O.
You're never gonna be Jell-O. Now, you need to come clean with your parents, because if you're waiting for that, do you take this man part? It's considered poor form.
I love him. And whatever delusions I drove Michael to, there's truth at the heart of it. You see, I want him to work for my father. I want to stay in school, and I want a life of my own. Please, tell him that it's my fault and that I love him. You're the only person that I trust.
Julie glances away, then rolls her eyes.
I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hundreds of balloons cluster at one end of the tennis court. Scott and two other boys are inflating more. Scott inhales the helium. Michael steps up to Julie. She turns to Scott.
Hey, knock it off!
Yes, sir?
I asked you, does she...
She admits that it's her fault. Totally, completely, inexcusably...
Michael bows his head. Julie avoids his gaze.
Love, well, it's a strong word, and I don't know that I'm necessarily qualified as a... I mean, I guess I wouldn't be totally off base if I said that in her way she does possess strong feelings.
Jules.
Sure she does, Michael. She's crazy.
Studies her face. Julie's gaze falters. The three boys are singing with helium pitch voices.
Like a night in the forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the...
Tell her I'll marry her at 6 o'clock. If she'll still have me.
Like a storm in the...
Julie nods and licks her lips. Kimmy stands by the open French windows of the dining room. The room is full of unopened gifts. Julie steps up to her.
What did he say?
Julie takes a deep breath.
He said, marry me.
Kimmy flings her arms around Julie, knocking her to the floor.
Thank God you were here.
Yeah.
I got so confused.
It happens.
Julie walks with Michael.
Got a minute?
They head towards a wrought iron gazebo. Julie removes her sunglasses as they step inside.
I'll have to say this quick, or I'm just going to have this massive coronary, and then you'll never hear it, and you have to. This is by far the dumbest thing I've ever done in my entire life. So dumb, in fact, that I can't. Oh, but I'm gonna.
Sure.
Michael, I love you. I've loved you for 9 years. I've just been too arrogant and scared to realize it. And, well, now I'm just scared. So I realize this comes at a very inopportune time, but I really have this gigantic favor to ask of you. Choose me. Marry me. Let me make you happy. That sounds like three favors, doesn't it?
Michael stares at her. Julie moves to him and kisses him on the lips. He returns the kiss, then pulls away, gazing at her bewildered. He looks up. Kimmy is watching them. Her face falls and she turns and runs off through the trees. Michael gives chase. Julie runs after them. Guests look up. As they race past.
Michael! That's our maid of honor. She's from New York.
Kimmy reaches her convertible and jumps in. Michael is in time to see Kimmy drive away. He jumps into his car. Julie tries car after car.
Oh, a good Samaritan.
She jumps into the baker's delivery van. George is at a book reading.
Shy tendrils of russet pleasure began their unbidden journey. She moaned. The tonnage of years of anguish, sacrifice.
Yes.
It is not going well! This is what comes of telling the truth! Or even part of it! You know, getting what you deserve isn't fair!
Where are you?
I have stolen a bread van, and I'm chasing Michael down Michigan Avenue! George, this is all your fault! I told him the truth! I said that I loved him, and I kissed him, and this is what's happened!
Jules, a question.
When you kissed Michael, did he kiss you back?
What do you mean? We were lip to lip!
I mean, was there anything on the other side of that kiss that leads you to believe that this chase will end happily?
That's beside the point. We were interrupted.
Who interrupted you?
Kimmy! She ruined everything! And Michael started chasing her before he could answer me!
Michael's chasing Kimmy?
Yes!
You're chasing Michael?
Yes!
Who's chasing you? Nobody. Get it?
There's your answer, Kimmy.
No!
Yes! Jules, you are not the one!
Now, for God's sake, the wedding is at 6 p.m.
You have a small but distinct window of opportunity to do the right thing.
George hangs up. The small audience is staring at him.
George!
Julie flings aside her phone. Michael turns down a side street. Julie spots him and slams on the brakes. If you want to know. She jumps on the steps into the ticket hall of a station. She leaps over luggage and careers through the crowds. She fights her way down the length of a busy platform, jostled by people on every side. Losing sight of him, she slows and stands dejected. The surge of people carries her along, back the way she's come. Back in the ticket hall, she lingers, fiddling with her hands. Looking up, she sees Michael, sitting on a bench, head bowed. Eyes bright, she makes her way over to him. She stands hesitantly, then sits down beside him. Michael studies his hands. Julie fidgets awkwardly and waits.
I have a confession to make. Another.
Michael bows his head more deeply.
Besides that I love you, this is even
Julie worse. Stares straight ahead.
The email that Walter sent to your boss. I wrote that.
Michael stares at her.
I'm the bad guy.
Are you crazy? Jules, are you completely insane? I mean, Jules, how could you do that?
Michael, it wasn't supposed to get sent. I just wanted you to get mad at Kimmy.
Michael moves to a bench opposite and buries his head in his hands.
I have done nothing but underhanded, despicable, not even terribly imaginative things since I got here. I was just trying to win you.
She kneels at his feet.
But that doesn't excuse any of it. I'm pawn scum. Well, lower, actually. I'm like the fungus that feeds on pawn scum.
Lower. The pus that infects the mucus, that cruds up the fungus, that feeds on the pond.
She nods in tearful agreement.
On the other hand. Thank you. For loving me that much. That way. It's pretty flattering.
Except it makes me fungus.
Well, that part I knew.
He strokes her hair and pulls her up to sit beside him on the bench.
God. I'm glad you didn't get on that train.
Well, I came here looking for her.
Why would she be here?
This is where I propose. I had to cover a game in Milwaukee, and she saw me off. The train was starting to leave, and I jumped up on the step and held the handle. And without a thought in my head, I just shouted, "Marry me!" And the train was pulling out, and she just suddenly screamed, "Yes!" Just once. And blew me a kiss.
Julie wipes away a tear. Michael sighs and drops his gaze.
Well, would have been a nice wedding.
Michael! You can't believe that you've lost her. I mean, sooner or later you will find her and you'll look into her eyes and you'll see all that love. I just hope that it's sooner rather than later, or else I'd hate to be you at 6 o'clock, okay? Just wait. We'll split up. And you will go to every romantic place the two of you have, and I will go, I don't know, someplace brilliant, and we'll find her. We will find her.
Back at the brunch.
Wallace Egregious Residence, Mandy speaking.
Hi, it's Jules. You guys haven't gotten a call from Kimmy, have you?
Oh, no, she slipped out, the little monkey, during the commotion.
Commotion?
Well, my sister was licking an ice sculpture and her tongue froze right to it.
And that's a commotion?
It's a sculpture of the David.
Uh-huh. And so Kimmy would be...
She's probably with Michael doing the nasty. Either that or crying in her nachos down at Comiskey Park.
Excuse me?
I had this crank call from some guy who says he saw her in the luxury box.
Right, okay.
What a bride be doing.
Right. Listen, can you bring my dress to the church? And I have to pick something up before the ceremony.
Okay, don't forget to shave now.
Mrs. Wallace directs a hairdryer at the sculpture's ice genitals to release Samantha's tongue.
It'll be okay. No picture. Please, no picture.
Julie arrives at the baseball park. In the busy ladies' toilet, she stands outside the cubicles and calls. a bag lady echoing her.
Kimmy!
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 I know you're in here. The guard saw you coming in.
Just leave me alone, you bitch!
Julie knocks on the door.
Kimmy.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Have fun!
You came here pretending to be my friend, and I made you my maid of honor.
Who asked you to do that? You knew me, what, 8 minutes?
Michael trusted you. So I trusted you.
You wanted to keep me close. You didn't trust me for a second.
I was right.
Well, of course you were right, but that's not my fault.
You kissed him at my parents' house on my wedding day.
Tramp.
Shut up. Now, I love this man, and there is no way that I'm going to give him up to some two-faced, big-haired food critic.
Him. I tried to steal him. I lost.
She looks at Kimmy. Kimmy swallows.
He doesn't love me. He loves you. Kimmy, I haven't done much that I'm proud of the last 3 days. I'd like to take you to the church so you can walk down that aisle and marry the man of our dreams. Because he sure wants to marry you.
Kimmy's face is serious. Julie gives her a little encouraging smile and Kimmy starts to smile too. She steps forward and hugs Julie. Michael waits at the altar, his brother Scott beside him. Processing up the nave are Mandy and Samantha. Michael grins and the cousins line up to his right. His smile fades as Julie walks up the aisle, smiling demurely. She looks radiant in her off-the-shoulder lavender satin gown. She catches Michael's eye. Michael gives her a stiff nod. He looks towards the doors at the west end. Kimmy, in a frothy white veil, walks towards him on her father's arm. She beams happily, her father smiling proudly. Michael breaks into a grin. Julie smiles too as Mr. Wallace lifts the veil from his daughter's face and kisses her. He replaces the veil and straightens it. Kimmy takes a few steps. Michael takes her hand and they stand in front of the minister. The minister nods, and the congregation sit. At the reception, the guests are seated in a large marquee.
So raise our glasses and wish Mike and Kim every happiness for a long and happy life together, filled with happiness. Well, I guess that's it.
To the bride and groom. Oh. Here.
Now let's hear from the maid of honor, the lovely Julianne.
Julie stands.
I had the strangest dream. I dreamt that some psychopath was trying to break the two of you up. Luckily, I woke up and I see that the world is just as it should be. For my best friend has won the best one.
Kim and Michael smile at each other.
I didn't get you a gift.
However, this is on loan until you two find yourself.
The cousins stand by the mic. Michael looks uneasy. He stands and leads Kim. Julie smiles bravely. As she watches them dance together, tears well up in her eyes.
With your smile so warm,
and your cheeks so soft, there is nothing for me but to love.
And I wanna love you
just the way.
The guests applaud the happy couple as they stand on the stairs in their going away clothes. Julie eyes Kimmy pointedly. Kimmy nods and tosses the bouquet. The cousins tussle for it, flooring another guest in the process.
I got it!
Julie tries to make her way through the throng to reach Kimmy and Michael. The bride and groom hurry out of the hall through the front door. Julie's face falls. She turns away. Suddenly, Michael is there beside her. He pulls her to him. Julie smiles and clings to him. Michael draws back and is swallowed up again by the crowd. Julie smiles bravely. Kimmy and Michael are showered with confetti. Kimmy hugs her grandmother. Michael jokes with other guests as they make their way to the car. Roman candles illuminate the lake that glides off into the night. Julianne sits wistfully at a table, staring into space. She picks up her lavender satin clutch bag and takes out her mobile phone.
Hello, George.
Hey, gorgeous. Having a good time?
Not particularly, but I did what I came to do.
What, you split them up?
No, I said goodbye.
Good girl. I'm proud of you. I'd be prouder still if you were dancing.
I have big plans for dancing. Just give me 30, 35 years.
The misery, the exquisite tragedy, the Susan Hayward of it all. I can just picture you there, sitting alone at your table in your lavender gown.
Did I tell you my gown was lavender?
Hair swept up, haven't touched your cake. Mm. Probably drumming your fingernails on the white linen tablecloth. What you do when you're really feeling down. Perhaps even looking at those nails thinking, God, I should have stopped in all my evil plotting to have that manicure. But it's too late now.
George, I didn't tell you my dress was lavender.
Suddenly, a familiar song.
The moment I wake up, before you...
Then you're off your chair. One exquisite movement.
Julie stands.
Wandering, searching, sniffing the wind like a dappled deer. Has God heard your little prayer? Will Cinderella dance again? And then, suddenly, the crowds part.
George is sitting at a table.
Sleek, stylish, radiant with charisma. Bizarrely, he's on the telephone. But then, so are you.
He stands up and approaches.
And he comes towards you. The moves of a jungle cat. And although you quite correctly sense that he is like most devastatingly handsome single men of his age are, you think, what the hell?
He takes her phone from her.
Life goes on. Maybe there won't be marriage. Maybe there won't be sex. But by God, there'll be dancing.
He grabs her hand and pulls her into a spin. Facing each other, they step away, then together, noses touching. Julie grins as George spins her under his arm and into an embrace. They part, then George spins in to face her. They sway together as other guests join in. Michael's dad, laughing, takes Mrs. Wallace for a spin. Julie and George jive, and Mandy tries a sensuous hip-swaying hula with young Scott. Julie, giggling at George's ballroom antics, falls laughing into his arms as the scene fades. ITFC audio description by Louise Fryer was read by Diana Spee.